In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that phrase shapes cultures, shapes worlds, shapes lives. I mean, if you know, in the beginning, it's a familiar phrase. Most of us immediately could quote off, you know, some of the rest of that piece. But what a wonderful phrase. You in your own life have been shaped by phrases. Now, my life has been shaped by this phrase, in the beginning. Maybe your life too, but let me just put it to you this way. If you are familiar with the phrase, we the people, right? That immediately marks you out in your world as an American, because you say that that phrase that has been used to identify a value system that I have the privilege of living under. Even the phrase, all men are created equal and are given certain inalienable rights by the Creator, you know, for the life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Those kinds of phrases. That phrase shapes who you are. It actually shapes not just your own mindset, the way you think. It certainly shapes about the way you think about yourself, but it shapes the way you consider yourself within the social scheme of this world. It shapes really everything about you. Everything is shaped by that phrase. Well, if your life is shaped by that phrase, my life is shaped by the phrase, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not that I'm any more special than you are, but I want you to identify with the fact that that phrase alone started long, long, long ago. Again, we talk about these ancients who sat under the stars from very, very early on, and they began to really try to discover in the vastness of the universe, you know, who is this? How did this all come about? How come the planets and the stars seem almost like a throw-in, so to speak? And they wrote this wonderful story of the creation. In fact, in that story, they very much point out the fact that there is the one certain fact that we arrive out of that story is there is a creator. He is a personal God and he wants to be known. He will be known if you allow him to be. If you seek him, you can find him. But they also, in that journey of understanding that created order, they understood how did the wheels fall off in my own life. And so they understood the fall of us, the dysfunction of our own life, the sort of the great chasm that sort of developed between us and the reality of what we knew we were originally created to have. I knew I was created to be for right, and I knew I was created for purpose. How come it feels so wrong? Why did the world fall apart? Much less, why did my world fall apart? But this Creator God was able to have an encounter with us and wants to have an encounter and begin to reach out to mankind. And these are the stories of the ancients that we have become really familiar with. Those are three very distinct and wonderful truths about this Creator God that are all framed around the term, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the heavens and the earth really declare the glory of that Creator. But this morning, there's another part of this journey that's really pretty fascinating. It's sort of centered around the word anticipation, but in reality, it's the word expectancy. You know what it means? Expectancy sort of means anticipation. I sort of look forward to something. But it's a very strong and powerful word because it says that there is something out there that has been laid out in front of me and I expect it to happen. In fact, probably the best parallel to draw to understand that word to its best and highest use is the expectation of a child. My wife and I, when we had a child, we were expecting, right? You get the news, you feel it coming, you know it's coming. And over a period of time, you can see it coming, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. And you look forward to it. And so right then and there, the promise or the expectation of that child that's coming shapes everything about your life. It shapes what you do with your house. It begins to shape what you do with your money. It begins to shape what you do how you frame your job, your timing of your job, how you frame your weekends, how you frame your time on and your time off. It begins to shape everything about the way, even location-wise, what you do about certain kinds of things. You're expecting a child. And this child is promised. And literally, day by day, week by week, and certainly month by month, it grows. And that expectation grows. And pretty soon, that incredible day happens. That miraculous day happens. And it's a surprise. Now, isn't that kind of interesting? How that something can be a surprise when it was so expected. You knew it was coming. And we go, surprise. And you've been waiting. In fact, we can mark it off on a calendar pretty well. Sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's late. But it's expected. And when it happens, the wonderful, miraculous surprise takes place. And even though you have watched this thing sort of emerge from nothing into something, and all of a sudden, when that child comes out and you see that child, it's the fulfillment of a promise. It's unlike anything that's ever happened. That sort of frames the term expectation or the term promise. It's what shapes my family. My family lives under the umbrella of an expected promise to be fulfilled. It has shaped my life in that phrase and those phrases around that has shaped everything about what I am. Everything about the way I conduct myself or spend my time or spend my money. Probably the better word, the most powerful of all the words of promise, the expecting promise, is the word covenant. The word covenant, it is something that Almighty God, the creator of all of the stars and the planets in the universe, said, I am going to give you something. I promise something will be there. You know, the fact that we know that there's a creator, and we know that the creator is personal and real, that's a major leap, by the way. I continue to remind us that major leap of even understanding that the creator, he is personal. He can be known. But the problem is, in my own life, I understand that I have some things missing. The world around me, obviously, always seems to have something missing. Government systems have terrible things missing. Social order is not always in place. In fact, it's more often not in place than it is in place. But not only do I have that order falling apart, I look down in my own life and I realize that I've got this dark cavern that nobody else even knows. It's kind of like the dark side of me. But God made a promise. He says, and in his counters with mankind, he said, I'm going to give you something. Something that is real. Something that is true. The ancients talked about that promise. The ancients that we have been discussing a lot, the ancients of old days that go way back, that sat under those same stars that you and I sit under today. Those ancients, they had some monumental encounters with the Almighty God, but in many of them began to be revealed, it began revealed to them that there is a greater promise out there. There will be a time when certain things will be restored to its original created order. That became a really important point to me. And it wasn't just one or two of the ancients. Frankly, it was many of them who began to understand that that creator was going to restore some things. And there's a message, though, that came out in that promise. This message that became very real. And here's the message. The message came back that said this: trust me, I will send a redeemer. Trust me, the redeemer will come. Why does a redeemer? Well, a redeemer is the one who makes things right, you know, from creation to this incredible vacuum that's in our life, and yet we know that we can have an encounter with this Creator God. But when is it all going to be made right? When's it all going to be solved? Not only in the world, but in me. Trust me, I'll send a Redeemer. It's a Savior. Some use the word Messiah, which really, oh, you play with all these words and these titles, but it really just means God's anointed one, the special gift, the special one. We often use that phrase, the Christ. That Christ is also the anointed one, the unique one. God becoming a man to this earth. The one who would finally, the perfect one, who would finally put all things back together again. You know, the ancients did write about this anointed one, this Christ, this Messiah, this Savior, this Redeemer, this special one, this Holy One. You know, King David used to always had some phrases out there, talked about the anointed one who would come and break the chains. That's what I was feeling, these chains that were in my life holding me down. And this Savior would come and break those chains. And he would be anointed from on high. It was an ancient named Zechariah who would come along and use phrases that says, it'll be your king. Your king will be that anointed one who will bring salvation with him. The king. We know what a king is, but this is God's king. This is the king, not a king, but the king who would bring salvation to a broken world. It was even an ancient prophet that many of us would know as by the name of Isaiah that referred back. He was later after David that would refer to him as saying, he comes from a stump, from a stump. It's like cutting a tree down and this tree that looked like it's gone. It's ruined because this world is ruined. And out of this stump, out of this ruined state, this chopped down world, would all of a sudden be a new branch that would be raised up. It was another ancient named Jeremiah. We call him a prophet of the old days. And he said that the days are coming when I will raise up a branch out of the root of the broken stem of King David. Out of that lineage, out of that line. It's a promise. It's an expectation. Even Micah, small little prophet, he often talked about that a Messiah, that Savior, that Redeemer was going to come in a way, and he would come in a little town that's in the house of the town of David, where David was from. That's Bethlehem. Just that little town down the road. Prophecies are fascinating. But these prophecies are more than just fascinating facts about our life. They really have come to shape who I am. What I believe, what I know to be true. They have shaped about what I look forward to. They have shaped so much about what I expect out of life, what I want out of life. Because I've already known these other things about God and my own fallen state. And yet I know that there's this encounter with God that can be had. I think one of the most powerful writings of an encounter with the Almighty God that we have today is a writing that has shaped everything about me and my family. Again, you get your life shaped by certain phrases and words and writings and truths that come out of those things. This is how my life has been shaped. And I feel compelled to sort of just read it to you. There's almost nothing like it in all of the ancient writings. It's a writing that describes, often we call him, you know, really the servant, the suffering servant. And in these writings, this ancient wrote these words. Listen to this. This is about the promise. The Lord says, my servant will succeed. he will be given great praise and the highest honors. Many were horrified at what happened to him. But everyone who saw him was even more horrified because he suffered until he no longer looked human. My servant will make nations worthy to worship me. Kings will be silent as they bow in wonder. They will see and they will think about things that they have never seen or thought about before. Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or a root that sprouts up in dry ground, the servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him even look attractive to us. He was hated. He was rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, "He's a nobody." He suffered and he endured great pain for us. But we thought this suffering was a punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that just wandered off. We had each gone our own way. But the Lord gave him the punishment that we deserved. He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent like a lamb being led to the butcher shop, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. Who could have imagined what would have happened? What would happen to him? His life was taken away because of the sinful things that my people had done. He wasn't dishonest. He wasn't violent. But he was buried in a tomb of cruel and rich people. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins. And ask God to forgive us. Sing and shout. Even though you have never had children, the Lord has promised that you will have more children than someone married for a long, long time. Make your tents larger. Spread out the tent pegs. Fasten them firmly. You and your descendants will take over the land of other nations. You will settle in towns that are even now in ruins. Don't be afraid or ashamed. And don't be discouraged. You won't be disappointed. Forget how sinful you were when you were young. Stop feeling ashamed for being a widow. The Lord all-powerful, the holy God of Israel, rules all the earth. He is your creator and husband. He will rescue you. Those words have shaped my life because they're a promise, a covenant. And I have truly lived out my life with an expectation that this would be fulfilled. Don't know when. Don't know all the details. But all I know is that God said it would be true. Well, those are the ancients. And the struggle sometimes that we have in our life is that we are afraid to live our lives based on a promise. Based on a promise of something to come. But I need to tell you this story too. Because it happened to me. After living a life under that umbrella of expectation. After literally shaping all of my life under the banner of knowing full well about the Creator and the fall of that I have gone through. And yet I know this encounter with God. I have truly tried my best to wake up every day and go to bed every night under the umbrella of that truth. And it has shaped everything. Those words have shaped everything about me. But there was a night that took place that changed everything. It was long ago, and I don't know if it was summer or winter or spring or fall. And to be honest with you, it's irrelevant no matter what season it might have been. But we were out under the stars one night. We were under the stars observing the night sky, just like we always do when we were shepherds, right? That's what kind of shepherds do. They sort of watch the flocks, watch the herds. And we're sort of passing from one day to the next. And again, as we look into the stars, the great thing about the stars is they're just so consistent. Even though the rest of my world sometimes is not, the stars are always there. They're consistently there. But you need to also understand that me and my family and my companions were always continually aware of this anticipated truth to be fulfilled, knowing full well what was wrong in me. But all of a sudden, in the middle of that night, things kind of began to happen that had never happened before. You see, there was an angelic voice. And, you know, what that is like is something that's hard to describe. I mean, it's been described by a few of the other ancients in times past. But to be visited in a way with something that's heavenly sort of puts things in a whole new level. Again, I'd been living under that shadow of trust me, I will send a Redeemer. And I really did sort of wake up wondering when that day would come. But then this voice came. It was very real, very distinct. Maybe it's different for other people, but it came and it was real. And it came in a world at a time period when there was occupancy of foreign governments and all the other kinds of things out there. The major force of our life actually came on the other side of the Mediterranean Ocean. You know, a Caesar who sat over there, who sort of controlled things through puppet world. And yet I had never really stopped shaping my world to live under the umbrella of that truth, of that promise. But this angelic being came. And he said this. I want you to go to that little village of Bethlehem that's just nearby, that little small town of David, and I want you to go see a child. Because tonight, a Savior has been born. And He is the Anointed One. He is the Christ, the Lord. And you're going to find this child in a little small manger, in a simple bed, wrapped in clothes, but the promise has been fulfilled. The words of, trust me, I will send a Redeemer, those words tonight have been fulfilled. Well, before we could do anything, the whole sky lit up. Everything about the sky, the stars now become almost insignificant because the lights of the angelic host, the heavenly host as we often refer to them, streamed through the skies, and they were singing. And they were singing songs of glory to God in the highest, peace on all of the earth, peace on all men. The Savior has been born. The promise fulfilled. Glory to God. Glory to God. A few minutes ago, I told you that the rest of my life had always been shaped so much about the phrase, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Well, after now seeing the fulfillment of God's greatest part of His plan, His plan that started way back at creation itself, when He uttered the words, "Let there be light." Those words that phrase so much about who I know God is "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There's kind of an addition to those phrases now. Because of this, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word became human and dwelt and lived among us. Those are the words that now shape my life. The same Creator who put the stars in place has become a man, our Redeemer. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, God, for the blessing of life and of what it all means. And it culminates in the promises of God, and may we live under that umbrella, shaping our lives in every way. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. Amen.